97.5 K248BR in Santa Cruz and online at kpfa.org. The time is 2 p.m. Stay tuned next for the Visionary Activist Show.
The Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey, coming to you live from Cleveland, from the cauldron of transformation. This is participatory democracy, so we are all metabolizing poison and liberating democracy. So wonderfully, for a first segment, a colleague, a memory of the future ally, Askia Mohammed from Washington, D.C.'s WPFW. Welcome, Askia.
Thank you very, very much, and it's amazing the metaphors that you weave, and I'm honored to be among the future, what is it, future memories?
Our continuing cahooting is a memory of the future.
Memory of the future.
Right. Well, it was you that yesterday backstage, in the midst of all this craziness that we want to honor, you know, you said, oh, do you know about Marie Laveau? I go, do I ever? She's one of my favorite humans ever walked the planet. And you said, she loves purple. And I go, that's sacred to Oya, who is our lead-in. Oya hurls her horsetail whip and summons the winds of change.
Mm. So, also Hi John.
Yes, and you remind me very much of Hi John with your beautiful hat and your elegant. You carry him. So, listening audience, you know, familiar with Hi John, but anyway, you want to introduce Hi John and welcome him into this.
It's just part of the amazing culture of New Orleans. It is really, really an amazing place that's transformative. And you know, you've got one place called Congo Square.
I know it well.
You've got a parish across the river called Algiers. The New Orleans, the flag of New Orleans is the crescent and star, which is sort of, I mean, it's inverted 90 degrees so that it's not an Islamic look, but it's the same image. And it's so much, and the Africanness of New Orleans and the stories of Marie Laveau and Hi John. And
well, we want to, let's, you know, experiment, invite them in. I have, you know, a coyote hair that Marie likes very much, and I did happen to sprinkle it in front of the inauguration podium on the floor in there. So participatory, telepathic, experimental democracy. I'm just inviting all of our dedicated listeners to activate the Muti, which I have some here. Muti means power and medicine. True power is that which heals. And so we'll be honoring different ways to dispel corruption and dispel the con of false glamour. And so tonight, if you're watching the faux inauguration or even just from your cave, we have suggested ways to animate and bring alive, let anything up to no good be revealed, rendered harmless, and an occasion for mirth.
Wah.
And then I just wanted to bring in the part that we love about Hi John, all that you said. But remember, he's the trickster liberator of the South, interested in liberating even the tyrant and finishing everything off with a laugh.
Yeah.
And remember, Obama quoted him in his first great speech on race. He said, we have to find a way out of no way. Right? And he didn't say the second part, but he did embody it and hit a straight lick with a crooked stick. And he did that then. We want to honor the good. We want to be critical, but we want to honor the good, especially in this strange cauldron. So let me just weave just a little smidge and then toss it to you, because, you know, here we are in this extraordinary circus, the Republican National Convention, and we go, well, time to get seriously Hi John and Marie Laveau and Trickster. There is a poisonous collective atmosphere out there of encouraged malice and murderous bad manners from the Twitter, you know, attack on beautiful black actress Lee Jones that was so harsh. The shooting of a caretaker of an autistic boy by a cop in Miami yesterday, who, when he didn't die, the good man, but he asked the cop, why did you shoot me? And the cop said, I don't know. I don't know why I shot you. So we say, let's charge the cops with possession, not of a substance, but being possessed. of a poisonous atmosphere. And Cleveland, the Republican National Convention, is a vortex of powerful delusional negativity and encouraged hot reactive self-indulgence. You know, any way you want to go, Askia Muhammad, about, you know, how shall we waft? You know, what would you want to waft into the collective mind? That, you know,
when you mentioned the cauldron, it brings to mind the film that just came out. You mentioned Lee Jones,
and, yeah,
Ghostbusters.
Yeah, that's what you got attacked for.
And
yeah.
Right, and the abiding image in my mind of Ghostbusters is that library that was possessed by the Haints and the spooks. And it was like, and when you just described Cleveland, I thought, oh yeah, that's sort of like Cleveland. All of these spirits are floating around and in and up out of the queue, as it's called, the Quicken Arena. And so I heard in the delegation in the hotel where I'm staying, they were asking one another this morning, how did you like the zoo? Speaking over here.
Oh.
I mean, these are Republican Trump delegates describing what's going on, whether they're happy about it or not, as the zoo.
And the circus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it really is.
And our colleague David E. brought up yesterday the live tweeting. We go, you know, sweet Jesus, the crazy atmosphere seems to be possessing random psycho cops. And we go, from the streets, there was a very beautiful thing that I want to also offer to your high John self. There was yesterday El Gente. El Gente was forming a loving, beautiful wall with their dancing, singing bodies, proclaiming kinship and saying, we are Mexicans and we're building a wall of beauty to protect everyone from Trump. I think that, you know, again, spiral into the thing is crucial.
Well, it something needs to be done because, speaking of walls, I've heard it suggested that Trump has built a wall around the GOP. And in a sense, if you look at the demographics of the people involved, the people here are basically middle class type folks. The supporters of Trump, in many ways, are working class, ordinary Joes, the white ones. The black supporters of Trump and black Republicans in general are mostly bourgeois, mostly middle class. And they have another whole, they're not like, we were in a restaurant last night after the show, and someone, there was a manager of this all-night restaurant, and he asked us, he saw we had the convention, what do you think of Trump? And so it's like, he's worried, but I mean, he didn't want to say that too loud because no telling what his employers might think of Trump. But as a working person, it's like he's alarmed and wants to make sure that his suspicions are not unfounded. And so I think there's a classic demographic split.
Right.
It's not being recognized.
So you assured him that his suspicions were founded.
Yes.
Well, you know, there's a really great book called The Futurological Congress. It's by Stanislav Lem, one of the best science fiction books ever written, and incredibly prescient. We're in it now. We're in it now. It's a futurological congress in which people take pharmaceuticals for everything. If you want to be angry, you take Furiol. If you want to be literary, you take Proustiac. But in the water, in the air, everybody's on mass cons, right? And by mistake, one of the protagonists takes the antidote and sees things as they really are, you know, behind the delusional curtain. And anyway, it's a brilliant thing. So, you know, we are here to dispel, with our audience's help, the mass cons, you know, because it's true. People are drawn to the certainty, the sports team, the tribalism, the mob mind, you know. And how do we dispel mob mind, which gives people permission, encouragement for malice, you know, and then we are the antidote to bring New Orleans and yourself back in. You know, the T-shirts for sale that say proud to be a hater, you know, and proud to hate Hillary Clinton. We want to talk about that Inquisition. In contrast to the physical soul of this country, New Orleans, where the musicians coming out to start the second line parades were wearing shirts and caps that said, "We heart haters." That's the antidote. But it's so beautiful.
I'd also like to say something that about the amazing unsung heroes of this entire media presentation, which are the technicians.
Yes.
This building we're in is a parking garage. And in this period of about 3 weeks after the NBA Finals, because who would thought that Cleveland, the Cavaliers, would go to the championship round, let alone have a Game 7, which meant the Game 6 was here. They couldn't do anything here till Game 6.
I love that.
And since then, they've moved in just tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of cables and wires and microwave and fiber and all
fiber objects, yeah, all that, yes.
And they moved and transformed this place into that. And then, right here, I can't hear the radio itself. And
we have an attack dog coming over. We have Fox News filming us. Hello, attack dog. Yes, I hear you're running for president, attack dog.
My own group.
You know what? You're not the Republican.
No, that's right.
You can tell. How could you tell?
We love the attack dogs. Yes, that's right. Very good.
Let me try another one.
Okay, try another one. What do you want to try, attack dog?
Live radio.
Yes, right. Okay, you got one. All right. Okay. Okay, I have to repeat it for you.
You're it!
Oh, well, all right. Okay. But Mad, well, we could use more Mad Frippery. Excellent. Carry on your splendid disruptive. Disruption in service to positive disruption. We're all in favor of that.
Okay, I got a good one.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll let you know about
if
that.
If Eric Trump was any greasier, he'd be in Chris Christie's lower intestine by now.
All right. That's it. Okay. Everybody get their gallbladder removed and have a tetanus shot before they come to the convention. All right. There goes the attack dog. We are live radio. Things streaming by us. It's all good improv. Excellent.
I'm sure if it sounds anything as good as on the radio in Berkeley as it does here, which I'm sure it must because it sounds good here and it's going out of the transmission line.
Yeah.
It's like it's amazing that in just moments we've gone from one situation to another to being able to broadcast with crystal clarity because our team, which gets no recognition, if something goes wrong, we sound bad. They don't. Nobody knows who they are, and so John and Mo, and me, Deanna,
yes, and Deanna,
and Sue, and Alan, really, who are never on mic, have done some really great things.
And teammates Davey D and Mitch Jezeric, we're grateful to everybody. And I'm glad you brought that up. I want to bring that up in perpetuity, and also at the end that you know Mo Thomas from WPFW and John Elmela, they are our engineers, and they are the Scotties. We have two Scotties. No enterprise had better Scotties than we do.
Right.
Bless everybody backstage. And you know, backstage, we call it the green room because it was sacred to Dionysus, the green man. Mm. So every actor, regardless of their role, would dedicate themselves to the flora and fauna of this earth before they went on stage. So we are backstage, and so is our text, and we could certainly use some dedication to the flora and fauna of this earth. Haven't heard a peep from the stage or the whatever or the anything at the, you know, about nature, about the crisis, about the world being on fire. Not a peep. So metabolizing poisonous hatred. Do you have any imagery for how we metabolize poisonous hatred? You have a lifetime of wisdom.
It's difficult in this environment to get around all the lies that are being told and to metabolize that. It's like they just lie for no reason, except they have their reasons.
Well, I'm up for playful, you know, because I like rewetting activism with animism, as though everything's alive. Just as an experiment, we go, "Oh, words, flee from the mouths of those who abuse you." I think wafting that out there, put a little coyote here in front of the teleprompter tonight. We don't know. We're just playing, you know. But I like to say, let all energy being released by disruption be available for dedication to animating a desirable story. I was talking to a Cruz supporter, second largest weed grower in Oregon. Actually, I was talking to a delegate from Mississippi, biblical Christian Trump guy, and I said, okay, everybody wants to be invited, their better self, to participate. Let me give you a quote, and you tell me if it's Trump or ISIS. And I said, come join us, and we will take care of your family, and you will be well, and you will be in good shape, and we will take care of you, and come join us for a wonderful mission, because we must destroy the world in order to save it. And I said, what?
Carl Rove.
Oh, Carl Rove going by. Oh, my God. Oh, it's Turd Blossom. Oh, my God.
He's walking fast.
Wow, thank you. Thank you for that point out. That's right. It's wild. That's good. It's wild.
There's nothing out there where he's going. It's just a tech room with lots of cables.
Right.
He should be back in about, well, we'll see.
30 seconds. Well, that's very good. So I said, to the Mississippi delegate, was that Trump or ISIS? He goes, it sounds like Trump. And I go, it was ISIS. And he goes, and he barked with laughter. And I said, story, who's got the story? It behooves us and Dedicated Pacifica Radio and Visionary Activist Show and our team, to animate the all-inclusive desirable story. We do want a finger wag, but we don't want to go, oh, over here, here's the desirable story. So,
I'm a little miffed at myself because I noticed the Stockholm Syndrome.
Well, you said that before, but explain.
The Stockholm Syndrome sort of overtook Patty Hearst and others. It's when the victim becomes friendly and sympathetic to those captors and people who are tormenting the victim and sympathizing with the tormentor. And so here, you see these people. We rode on the bus over with them for the first time. And what can you say? You can't growl at them. But pretty soon you start hearing the perspective of their story and think, there's something reasonable in that. I don't understand and agree and hope you don't prevail, but I don't wish you
ill. No.
Eternal constipation, anything like that.
That would be a terrible curse. Worse than no. Absolutely no. I delight in the crossing of borders, which is not Stockholm syndrome, but going, can we let's woof woof. Can we find a commonality? Can we meet backstage? Not to be, pulled into the Dementors, but in fact to sort of step in. Well, like the Mississippi delegate who was actually delighted that he barked with laughter of a kind of liberating sort when he couldn't tell the difference between ISIS and Trump. He was like, ha! Oh, you got me there.
Well, you can't tell the difference between Sharia and Leviticus.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
I mean, they say that, you boo Sharia. I mean, there are a couple of things that are different. But then, women, the treatment of women in these cultures, the restrictions against...
And actually, in these cultures, you're almost pointing to the Republican floor, too. There's a little bit of that. Okay.
And so the restrictions against various forms of behavior, intoxicants and all that. So these things are they're in common, but I think every time I hear somebody talk about Obama wants to initiate Sharia, well, if he initiated what you guys are trying to advocate, how would that be different from Sharia? You'd be perfectly comfortable in a Sharia society because according to what you preach, you don't drink, you copulate only with your spouse, et cetera, and so forth and so on. And so you're like that. Melania Trump and others have said that she said the greatest gift that she ever had was her U.S. citizenship. So, okay, you got the Americans and we're happy and we want them to prosper, but the rest of the world, to hell with them. That's 7 billion people. And so you don't care if they're about their lives dying. You care about 4 people killed in Benghazi, but you don't care about 1 million people dying in in the Desert Storm or whatever that was, or 500,000 people before that just under sanctions. So, it, you know.
Well, and then we just might turn it into an invitation. We encourage you to consider. You know, it's like a friend of mine says, you know, people against abortion, they're against abortion except at the 103rd trimester. And we go, okay, again, you know, yay, yay. We want to inhale going, yay.
103rd trimester, that'd be about 3 years old?
No, 30.
Okay.
Right, 30. Yeah, and I do like, well, you're bringing up much that is of swirling import, as again, many, Karl Rove goes by again, or we don't know where he disappeared to.
I think he's probably doing an interview back in.
Right, but I love, there's a book called Mainline Woman, Shaman Woman, it's the history of women and drug use, both sacred and addiction. But it calls the Garden of Eden the first drug bust in history, the first getting busted for possession of a controlled substance, the apple, and just for the fun of that. I did want to bring up, you know, what you and I share. You are a politically dedicated and mythologically spiritual erudite fellow. So, you know, part of what I wanted to bring up, which what indigenous people would note, you know, the danger of now, there's a Venus in Mesoamerica is Quetzalcoatl, who is the leader, and Quetzalcoatl is a good leader, and then he gets the Tezcatlipoca, the Lord of the Smoking Mirror, comes and says, here, drink this balche, this corporate collusion, this poisonous drink. Here, you'll feel much better. And he does, and he becomes corrupt and terrible, and he sails away to go reinvent leadership and then to return. And it's when Venus reemerges from the underworld, which is about to happen in the sky. And there's an unfortunate historical coinciding, which is Cortez shows up on that day, and they mistake the murderous thug for the mythological return of wise leadership. That's what happened in Mesoamerica. So that's now, and so that's why we want to suck the chi out of people. They do view him as a king. You know, I mean, there is an inauguration, but it's a toxic mimic, you know, and it's like Cortez. It's the colonizing thug mistaken for the authentic thing, which can only be born in each heart.
So, and I appreciate your optimism.
Well, I don't know if it's optimism, but
so how do you tame this colonizing thug? I mean, how do you?
Oh, I have ideas.
Okay.
Just again, you know, trickster has not been completely visible in this particular Republican convention. Although I must say, my colorful hair has opened many doors on all kinds of sides. Progressive hip people and Republicans going, "I love you," and women going, "I love your hair. I wish I could do that." Part of the experiment is, you know, are we not artists of atmosphere? Are we not experimental wizards and directors of traffic? So where would we like economic collapse? And we go, polluting industries, go this way. Because this is about stagecraft, I remember all the really valuable things, like one thing at the Symbiosis Festival where there was a really great karaoke stage event, and at the end, their finale, a crazy person left on stage and began stripping off her clothes and dry humping everybody on stage. And I was like, "Ooh, I don't think this is part of their act. How are they going to deal with it?" And the MC, I'll bring this back to us, the MC just hooked her arm through the unruly woman and said, "And you, dear, you come with me because you are fascinating," and just led her off stage. Now, what does Trump really want in the delusional realm? You know, there's rumors that even the woman who allegedly wrote the speech for Melania doesn't exist. Yeah, I mean, he has fantasy people. We don't even know. We don't even know. We know that Tony Schwartz, who wrote The Art of the Deal, is now being sued by Trump, you know, but is going, "No, I did a terrible thing. I made this monster." You know, if he's elected, it could be the end of civilization. I'm not kidding. You know, he did say that. But what does Trump really want? And we go, "Come this way." You know, it's like we pull the switch on the reality train and go, TV show, reality show, over this way. There, that's what you really want. I'm just
except
setting up a metaphor over there.
I don't think he would be.
You come this way.
Right? Be able to be president. I think after 3 months he'd be bored. What's on the schedule for today? Well, you're going to meet with the county commissioners of northern Pennsylvania.
Right.
What? You know.
But well, yeah. We hope
he'd
it doesn't.
And I saw a tweet saying suggesting, not by him, but suggesting that if he were elected, he wouldn't serve. So in my sense of it is that he would be so bored having to be in one place every day. I mean, it's like, Mr. President, you can, coming here.
Well, he's possessed, I think, as a useful metaphor without being too superstitious. He's possessed, you know, because he would love to be called a monster. Anything that you throw at him, he actually loves that. So there is a quality of possession. But we do, wouldn't we be in accord, most sane, reverent people, that we really... Because I know some people in hyper-reactivity and Bernie supporters are like, well, serve the Democrats right if Trump's elected. We go, no, I don't think we can go there. No, I don't think so. There's too much at stake.
Hell on a rocket.
Hell on a rocket. So the metabolizing of hatred, I'd like you to help me discern. There are many reasons to be critical of Hillary Clinton and her record.
Absolutely.
But hatred... You know, the amount of vitriolic, inquisitional witch-burning going on here, discerning, critiquing, informing, yes. But hatred really, you know, it just feeds the worst. And in our team, also, we go, critique, Hillary Clinton, hatred, no.
Well, hats off to Cold Pink. Because on the second day of the convention, how they managed in this world of facial recognition software to get into the as Republican delegates, whoever they might have been pledged to, how they managed to get in and then unfurl. Well, I guess everybody could have banners or what have you, but one that says "Stop Hate" and unfurl it. And ironically, the people surrounding her tried to drape her in an American flag to block this so that people, the TV cameras, couldn't see her sign saying "Stop Hate." So I'm proud of them for having done that. And then the next day, just having another outburst. Like, wow, they really kept their ducks in a row. And despite what everyone says, I mean, I think the Republicans are saying, and I hate to use the expression because it's so unvisionary, but they lie. And one of the lies is how unified they are. And right. Tonight's theme is, let's make America one again. This room isn't one.
Right.
They booed Ted Cruz for saying what? Vote your conscience.
Right.
Do what you think is right. What's wrong with that?
Yes. Well, you know, again, just a little bit of sane reverence can liberate people. There were drunken people getting on the elevator last night at my hotel and going, Cruz, and I just said, he said, vote your conscience, what you just said. What's wrong with that? And they're like, yeah, what's wrong with that? Okay. Anyway, I mean, just again, sometimes these simple things.
Louis Jordan comes to mind. The great saxophonist and singer and film star.
Yes?
Yes, it's me, and I'm drunk again.
That was very good. That was quite wonderful. I guess this is the Visionary Activist Show coming to you from 94.1 Berkeley, but really live from Cleveland. Woohoo! Background noise. And my colleague from WPFW in Washington, D.C., Askia Mohammed, is my co-riffing ally for a little bit longer.
A little while,
I know.
What else? You must have something else planned.
Adventure. No, don't say that. Adventure beckons. There are many. Yeah, well, we could. Synchronicity. Synchronicity is my ally at this point. Serendipitous synchronicity. I did see, a bumper sticker that says, a better world through kindness to animals. So when I ran into Trump supporters at rest stops walking their dogs, I go, a better world for animals? Is that what you're dedicated to? Yes. And
here in Cleveland?
Yeah, here in Cleveland. That's right.
Wow.
Yeah.
They must have driven or taking the bus or train or something.
Well,
I guess you can fly with a pet.
Stepping in from anywhere. I also just wanted to bring up, the antidote, coming. I want to toss to you to play with that the oppressor, unbeknownst to the oppressor, actually seeks the medicine of what he's oppressing. And it is from the most oppressed that the medicine comes. One of the most powerful and beautiful guiding statements came from Cameron Alton, you know, Cameron Sterling, Alton Sterling's son, Alton Sterling, who was killed by the police. And this 15-year-old lad who we got to see weeping and in profound grief for the loss of his father, which was so powerful. And he comes out and says, you know, everyone needs to be in one accord. Peace, every, you know, he gives a very powerful and beautiful, you know, I just, we want to invite that quality of healing and medicine here, where it's, you know, strongly excluded. I think we have break music from Berkeley. I think we're going to take a very short 30-second break, and we'll be back with Askia Mohammed, a colleague from WPFW. This is Caroline Casey, and we'll be right back.
She shook the constellation and dazzled them across his eyes. She shook the constellations and dazzled them crossed his eyes. She showered his head with quasar and made his tarsus cry.
Lost it down.
Chanty, 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 come blow my chanty home. Ooh, chanty, 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 come blow my chanty home. Telegraph my indigo sky ship, make its voyage long.
Now get down.
Welcome back, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show. I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey, here in Cleveland, broadcasting to you by our Pacifica wonderful team with a co-colleague, lively here, Askia Mohammed from WPFW in Washington, D.C., for however long he chooses to hang in, while we have Karl Rove walking by and the attack dog. It's lively here. Here we are, and welcome back, Askia, for however long you want to stay.
Thank you, Weaver of Dreams. Let me say something for Taj.
Yes, thank you.
And I thought at first it sounds like something from Ishmael Reed's Conjure.
It is.
Okay.
You genius.
Ishmael Reed from Oakland.
Yes,
A profound writer, poet.
And listener to this show.
Okay, great.
Yeah, well, yeah, we love him.
Uncle Ish.
Yeah.
So let me just say something. Another profound poet, Ish, is one of the great poets and writers of our age. A.B. Spellman told me, and I'll just say this because you have so many profound ideas, but they're all on scraps of paper.
Yes.
And so A.B. says, it's not a poem until it's typed. So, I mean, these are not poems, but, and of course, I have taken to getting little pads and writing on little shards of paper because half the time I'll think of something and I'll often forget things mid-sentence as Sennheiser's takes over and progresses towards all. So I understand that, but I also know that at some point they must be congealed into some, because it is quite poetic.
Well, you know, it's an interesting way to go. It's like I might go the opposite, being a contrarian, that it's not a poem until you've typed it and then moved it onto scraps of paper. It's so handmade for whatever. Yeah, no, it is. It is all an interesting shuffle. But I like them all because they're all kind of alive. Like, you know, and they're like, oh, take me. For instance, I did throw the I Ching for us all and for the nature of this convention. And it said, the moment of gathering force, it means measuring a danger, confident it can be surmounted with the aid of spirits. The shadow is fear, timidity, and needless striving. That's pretty good for the I Ching to chime in on that level. There's measuring a danger, confident and can be surmounted with the aid of spirits. Well, I've always loved radio in the sense that it is invisible. It is where we speak to our spirit selves, where we can invite in what's been excluded.
And it's a medium which listeners listen essentially alone. It's not easy. It's not like watching TV or a movie where you can do it in a collective situation. Listening to radio is usually kind of an individual act.
In the car.
In the car. Or even at home.
In the home.
Because if you're at home or with others and something's on the radio and someone gets bored, then they'll start talking. It's something that you might be, in fact, interested in. So it is a very intimate one-to-one conversation with people as they really embrace radio.
It is. And again, part of the beauty of this telepathic cahooting is, you know, so many people listening to this show. We have a great dedicated listenership and always new people. Welcome, welcome, welcome. But exactly what you said. Many people say, I'm on an Air Force base. I'm a military wife. I feel so alone except when I listen to your show. I'm connected. Well, I'm in prison. We have a lot of prisoner listeners, homeless people listeners. We go, and again, it is a form of connecting. So I want to encourage all of us and yourself to for a kind of participatory, you know, practical and spiritual democratic application. I love there are playful chants that dispel false glamour. I love the writing of Terry Pratchett, great animist, and in his last beautiful book that he was writing before he died, there's forces, there's a rent in the wall of reality, and bad forces are entering of a kind of demonic cartoon nature. It's like campaign coverage. The fairy queen says, oh, you good people, you Pacifica listeners, you have no idea what you're up against. And they're like, we're Pacifica listeners. We're wizards and witches. It shouldn't be, you know, glamour holds nothing for us. And the fairy queen goes, let me just show you. And she goes, phew. And everybody goes, and I will be the best broadcaster, and I will be the beloved of Saint Germain, and I will be the whatever it is, and I will be the great, and if I had the ring of power, whatever. And then they go, oh, I'm nothing, I'm nothing, I'm nothing. And then they go, wow, that was strong. And so she teaches them a chant to dispel the con of glamour. And it's very witty and charming. It's Yan Tan Tethera. It's just counting 1, 2, 3 in We Free Men language. But I just want to encourage our team now, even alone in the privacy of your own car or whatever, Yan Tan Tethera. You know, tonight when you're watching the faux inauguration, Yan Tan Tethera. In a cave or in whatever, just for the fun of experimental Yan Tan Tethera, may all beings be freed from the con of false glamour. Is that fun?
Yes. Except, you know, the one thing about that experience, you must watch it and listen. It's not like some sports events, not like a Raiders game or a Giants game or an Athletics game or Washington Nationals game, or I'll never repeat the name of the Washington football team.
Right, right. Thank you.
Not like watching. You can watch the game and turn the volume down and listen to music and know what's going on. In this case, I guess you could have a teleprompter.
Oh, you can hear Trump going blah 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 and just go Yan Tan Tethera. You can imagine, you know,
it's gonna be so wonderful. It's gonna be so amazing.
Yan Tan Tethera. Right, may snap out of it. Snap out of it. Right, yes.
They're my friends. The blacks love me.
Yan Tan Tethera. Exactly. That's great.
See, there's my Negro friend right there.
Oh, where?
He says, not me anymore.
There are apparently 5 black delegates.
25 black delegates.
Oh, is that right? 25?
25 black delegates.
Oh, I heard there were 5. Okay, 25 black delegates out of 27.
Only 5? 18? 18 black delegates, and the other 7 must be alternates. But they get into every television shot that they possibly can. So if you're sitting around a black delegate, those who are here at the convention, you have a better chance of appearing on TV than if you are just in your...
That's a good point. That's right.
Because the black guys are going to get shown on TV.
Right. Yes. So...
Actually, who was it? This is the smallest number of black delegates that have been here since 1888, the convention, as we were told, since 1888, at which time Frederick Douglass got 1 vote for vice president. So we have made what literally it's like treading water, doing a moonwalk or something. You're still in the same place that you were, and you have made... no progress.
Yes. No, that's right. And that's our ally, Davey D, informing us of actual facts. He's right here with us. I love the collegial wildness of it all. I think, again, it's important, you know, to bring up our power of education as a radio network. I love that it was the toll taker on the Ohio Turnpike that we talked quite a long time, nobody behind me. I go, who are you voting for? And he goes, well, I was leaning to Trump, but I read the interview with Tony Schwartz, who is his ghostwriter, and it completely changed my mind. So, again, I just want to say to our team of dedicated listeners, the more we know, when we compost our own hatred and attitudinal condescension, you know, just compost that and go, did you know about this? Did you know about that? And rather than Stockholm syndrome, you know, I do like approaching people and going, let's agree, even with the Trump people that I talk to, going, how about we could agree on everyone wants to know how they're being conned, right? And they go, yeah. And I think that's a good place to start. And then you go, did you know? And, you know, the con is often his own first con. There is that kind of, you know, dynamic that we're playing. I like drawing from everywhere. And again, this is where we want to kind of invoke Yantan Tethera, you know, from the sacred teachings of Law and Order, Criminal Intent, where Bobby says, you know, manipulators love a crisis. It's where they do their best work. Right.
Mm.
And so even last night's, you know, Cruz, the audience being riled up to boo Cruz in a kind of threatening way, his wife had to be escorted out, you know, as part of what serves until now, maybe, the Trump, you know, crisis, the melodrama.
But he's able in that instance, and of course he would have had bedlam had he told Cruz he couldn't speak. It would have been
really
more headaches than he got by letting him speak.
Hmm.
But it sort of serves his interest, or serves him in a kind way, in the same way that the mythological, maybe real or maybe not real, ghostwriter who wrote Melania's speech did. When he said, she offered her resignation, but I wouldn't accept it. He's so merciful. What a nice guy. What a guy. What a boss he is. And so in this instance, I guess his favorite means of communication by Twitter, he said, yeah, I saw Cruz's speech. He didn't say it in that snide kind of voice I'm using. But I saw Cruz's speech, and I let him go on, and it's okay. And so he sounds, you know, again,
magnanimous. The great one has forgiven the underling.
What a guy.
And again, we don't know if the underling is real. We don't know.
We know the plagiarism is
real.
Unmistakable.
That is unmistakable. And even walking around here, you know, mainstream news people, they were all going, there's been some suggestion that several phrases may have been borrowed. I'm like, no, words flee. You know, and I do want to bring in, you know, to tease into pertinence for our team. You know, everything is real and guiding. You know, attribution is a wonderful thing, you know, and it is something that in the age of social media, people can hoover whole pieces, you know, of somebody else's stuff, and then go, well, I could have thought of it, you know. It is a collective thing, and so what I've come to is, I say, no, attribution is good manners, not in an imposed way, just intrinsic. To hoover other people's material without attribution is the verbal equivalent of genetically modified food, meaning, it's cutting the DNA. It's cutting the story DNA of where it came from. So in this public, this animation this cartoon animation of monstrous American vulgarity known as the Republican National Convention, you know, there are pertinent things for us all to kind of tease forth, going, right, there's a huge thing of plagiarism. And it's good that the media was so on that, you know, back to back, you know.
Well, thanks to the
both yes and no.
They said it was a Hillary guy or Hillary person who did this, but no, it was a Twitter, was it Hill? I think was his name. I'm not a big Twitter addict, so I'm not familiar with it. But one of our colleagues here mm-hmm. brought out the fact that someone was watching the speech and said, I've heard this sounds, and studied it and then started tweeting that this was, and it got picked up.
Right. No, I think that's really important, and really important for our dynamic listening audience, which is, yes, from the from the democracy of non-corporate reality, you know, that will guide it. And I just want to encourage our team again about, you know, inhaling the autonomy to guide the story in just that kind of clean way to step in. Because it's like, because we've seen in the primary system that got us to now is the, you know, corporate press has got very tight obedience collars on about story policing, you know, certainly to the...
They want, whenever Trump gets that money, raises some money, they want those advertisements.
Right, and there was a, you know, and MSNBC, you know, was strongly the, you know, the Hillary Clinton campaign kind of dynamic, pretty much. And we go, you know, and we are heading into Philadelphia, a much more complex... Are you going to be there in Philadelphia
yes.
next week? Oh, good. I'm so glad. Because it is a much more complex...
Inshallah.
Yes.
Which means God willing.
Exactly. No, that's right. In Fella and in Trickster we trust. Absolutely. Because it will be more complex dynamic because there will be people there insisting and animating the desirable Democratic program of sane, reverent environmental policy, banning on fracking and so on, which, again, was forged at a really historic moment, the clip on C-SPAN, with, you know, Josh Fox and the sane people and some Hillary supporters also who, you know, and Carol Browner, you know, who worked very hard to come into a common story agreement that was remarkable, even by Bill McKibben and Josh Fox's standards, going, this is a beautiful thing. You know, and then apparently Hillary said, no, you know, and we go, no, we're creating we're creating a guiding story of sane, applied reverence. This is the program. Whoever support, this is the program. This is what we're voting for. And again, that dynamic of, well, it's a conundrum. You know, many people have the conundrum about, you know, can you vote for Hillary? We'll be addressing that more next week. But the inaugurating of a guiding story. I liked, you know, words and word magic with the delegate from Oregon, the delegate from Mississippi. I always love to say, do you know what the word inaugurate means? And they're like, where it comes from? They go, oh, it comes from the augur, A-U-G-U-R, the diviner, who would walk out into nature and read nature's patterns, whereby the most responsible human would be revealed by patterns, and then they would be inaugurated. So it had an animistic, in accord with nature dynamic once. But they were all delighted to hear that, going, oh, it meant something. It meant something once. It meant about who is the responsible human to cooperate with nature's guiding genius. That's what it meant. You know, and again, we want to animate that as High John and Marie Laveau would guide us, and anybody else you want, and Ishmael Reed, and anybody else you want to bring in, Taj Mahal.
Such words you use are really complex and interesting, and anyone who listens must be drawn in. Compost. Excuse
me. Composting, yes.
Composting ideas.
Right.
Oh, you're composting yourself. That's pretty amazing.
Well, I like it as a metaphor when I work with our team on the streets. You know, let's have, you know, our metaphors derived from nature. So when people go, we're going to take down that coal plant, I go, no, we're going to compost it into nutrient for sane, reverent... sane, reverent ingenuity. We're going to suck the chi out of the bad story and exhale it into the desirable story. And maybe from your, you know, eloquent knowledge of, well, you know, there's a wonderful quote that said, to be cultured is to be acquainted with the highest possibilities of the human spirit throughout time. And you, Askia Muhammad, are a very cultured man.
Well, I thank you. That's very kind of you to say. I aspire and have the name of a famous person who, in a sense, had was maligned with the name Askia. Someone called me once on the radio, do you know what Askia means? And I just happened to have studied it. And it means, yes, it means thief, usurper.
Ah.
And this king... Mohamed Touré usurped the throne of his uncle, Sunni Ali, in West Africa, Mali, in Timbuktu, around in the 15th century. And I've been to his place in Timbuktu, which is the well. One of these words means it's the well of Buktu, it was where there was an oasis, and so it. I mean, there are still, even after Boko Haram tried, there's still thousands of manuscripts that date back 1,000 years. And so this This person at this place in Timbuktu, there is a place, and I saw the plaque. This is before the time of digital cameras, I think, that has the Tumbo do Askia, which is his tomb. And he's remembered as Askia the Great. Even Bob Hope made the movie On the Road to Timbuktu. So thank you for saying those kind things about the words. But the original Askia Muhammad, and people can Google him and see, was a master of words. And there are millions of words literally in the place where he reigned.
Ah, beautiful. And, you know, it's like I have a wonderful friend, Syrian friend, Muawiyah. Muawiyah is the villain and, you know, whatever. And we go to take that on and transform it in Islam. But I do want to bring in also just one of my, as we travel through the underworld, you know, we have myths, big themes, fairy tales, more local detective novels, go back to 231 BC. And part of the function, and I view all of us here as, in a way, detectives, it would say that 231 BC, the purpose of the magistrate is to dive into the underworld, here we are, to restore human affairs to be in accord with the mandate of heaven and earth. And we go, oh, well, that would be good. And there are up to no good people who approach the detective, 231 BC all the way up until now, but when they feel the dedication of the likes of yourself, Askia Muhammad, or any of our dedicated colleagues here, they go, I was going to harm you, but in fact I want to join your team, but I have underworld skills that you will need. And I go, I like that. You know, that's why I like not Stockholm Syndrome, but potential inviting to a better story. I've been having good conversations, people who didn't want to be recorded, but that was interesting too, with, you know, somebody head of a private security firm who's here, because there's a lot of private security, who looks like, you know, somebody we would might be snookered into oppositional polarity with, you know, part of Oath Keepers. And he goes, do you know what Oath Keepers are? And I go, better that you define it for me, you know, let's just start there. But he, you know, we did spiral in which he said, no, absolutely, you know, protecting, you know, life is it, all lives. I mean, not all lives matter, but all lives would be good. We did actually spiral out of polarity into a kind of accord. And he said, well, I do have underworld skills. I'd be glad to loan to people who are really dedicated to democracy. And I go, all right, well, it's an inch. We'll work with that thing. Here we go. I love, for the fun of it, and maybe we could, you know, query David V. In the, just for a smidge, that part of the resonance of now is we just track mythological guidance. What's rising in the East right now is Mars in Scorpio about strategy, and it's at the Occupy degree. When Occupy began in New York, 26 plus Scorpio was rising, and there's an image for that, which is, you know, an irresistible musical band takes to the streets, and we go, well, that's rising now. Is there any, oh, Davey D, over there, is there anything you'd want to say about the Occupy movement and how you might want to invite it into the world now? Yes, yes. Just for the fun. Here. Lean over anywhere you want to go. This is our colleague in liveliness, Davey D.
I think the Occupy movement is something many people forgot about. And I think it was something that had the potential for great success. But before the whiteness of the Occupy movement in many cities could connect to the black and brown folks that they were actually talking about, who were most impacted most, it was destroyed. You know, Occupy Oakland was unique in the Occupy movement because it was an Oscar Grant movement that came before it. And it was a large homeless population that lived near City Hall, which meant the white folks that started Occupy Oakland had to negotiate space in that area with a very organized group of people that were very militant, that weren't going to give up City Hall like that. And then they had to deal with an already organized community. So Occupy Oakland was very different than what you saw in many other places. So when the Occupy movement was disappeared, even in Oakland, there was still a movement around, you know, that was very similar, not similar in terms of the tactics, but similar in terms of that there were people that were already committed, well-heeled organizers. But I think for a lot of other folks in a lot of other areas, it kind of disappeared, even though the language of how we frame capitalism and all those other things, you know, that will be the lasting impact of the Occupy movement.
But just for the finalizing fun, serious fun of it, you know, gathering our medicine stories. If there would be a, you know, a liberating medicine, well, let me aspire to be coherent. If it disappeared. Okay, the form disappeared, but the energy is still there to be invited. What would be your medicine blessing for that energy? It's similar to the Bernie Sanders energy. Okay, it's like what to do with it now?
Well, I don't know if I think my blessing would be, or my ask would be, that people not be confused.
Okay.
And to take a side. I think one of the challenges that you have with the Occupy movement is that ideologically there were people that were very clear that there had to be a disruption and, to a large degree, an elimination of many things that make up this system. And there were a lot of other people that liked the idea of the Occupy movement and felt that they could take bits and pieces of it and reform the system. And those came into that eventually started to clash. You saw politicians that wanted to use the energy of the Occupy movement, and so they would send people in, they would get the language, but they didn't want to have the full commitment. And you had others that resented that were going to do everything in their power to kind of push that back. And then eventually things, you know, there were forces that were going to destroy it, and eventually it became unattracted to a lot of people. You know, the camps were disrupted, all that other stuff.
But it's there with no form. I mean,
well, it depends on where your head is at.
Right.
You know, people that want to reform the system would look for other things. So they would look at the Black Lives Matter movement. How can we take that energy and reform it to maybe get Hillary Clinton elected? How can we take that system and reform it to maybe make me feel like I'm a relevant to a particular demographic? So you would see opportunists.
Well, those are cons.
Right?
The hoovering, the cons.
But there's a lot of opportunists when things become desperate.
Right.
When you're very I need a grant. Police reform is in. I'm a Black Lives Matter movement, right? Even though you don't even know any of the people or the principles behind it, but you'll use that tag. You know, you'll use that word. You'll jump. You'll surround. You'll put yourself in a position to make it seem like you're associated with that, even though you're not committed to it.
So on our way out, just for the fun of it, we want to throw that corruption into the cauldron and ladle out just some well-wishing, Davey D. Just some, that it be liberated into whatever, your own words. Here we go.
Less confusion, less corruption, and more honesty.
Common guiding story. Thank you so much, colleague Davey D. And thank you so much, Askia Mohammed. And thank you to Mo Thomas and Jenna Mela, the best Scotties for any enterprise in the world. And to Erica Bridgman in Berkeley. I'm Caroline Casey. Follow me on Twitter, Stand Up Coyote, for more Kahooting. And we will be broadcasting tonight, Pacifica.org, available to everybody. Thank you all, team. Woof, woof.
Are you tired of The Matrix?
The movie?
No, not the movie, but the one you're living in. If so, then hang out with your friends at The Full Circle.
What's The Full Circle?
Full Circle is a radio show written, produced, and directed by apprentices right here at KPFA. We'll bring you everything from the obscure to the obvious, the hidden and the blatant, as well as all things in between. So be informed. Hear about your world community every Friday night from 7 to 8 p.m. on 94.1 FM, where we'll serve you the red pill with love.
Join us for the screening of Juan Grillo. This award-winning short film uses animation and folkloric dance about a boy who discovers the secret to free the people of Maizcalpa, enslaved by an evil giant. Director Marta Leclerc will be on hand for a brief Q&A. All ages are welcome at this celebration of the 37th anniversary of the Nicaraguan Revolution. There will be traditional food and salsa dancing with DJ Sandina La Positiva. This event is on Sunday, July 24th from 6 to 9:30 p.m. and it's a benefit for La Peña Cultural Center. 3105 Shattuck Avenue, Berkeley. For more information, call 510-219-4637.
And you are listening to 94.1 KPFA and 89.1.